the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast here on the CBP Media Network. My name is Joey, here with my co-host Len for another not quite scheduled, but also not quite surprise, Clown World Wednesday. What's going on, buddy? Good to see you. Good to talk to you. How's things over there?
It's good. I was just soaking in the clown world as much as I can so you get prepped for this show. It's going to be fun because we don't tend to do this, these one-off clown world shows, but here we are. How are you, Joey?
I'm good, man. Packing things up. Getting ready to move, the usual. Yeah, we're about 2 weeks away, so we're
so you're gonna be moving here.
Dundas. I don't know. Yeah,
and
you can say it's fine.
So you're gonna be moving there, but ultimately, is it gonna have a different name? That I want to know. Is it gonna be?
If it does, we'll do a Clown World episode on it. I'll tell
Jonesville.
You that much. Can Olivia Chow extend her influence all the way out into Dundas, the good people of Dundas? I'm not sure. I want to embrace. I think I said this to you before. I've been very anti. Dundas is its own place for a long time, but okay. D turned me on to at beers a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago now. He said that Dundas should embrace the Vatican City model of statehood, and I think I like that. I think I'm okay with the Vatican City model for Dundas.
As somebody that's been to Vatican City, there's maybe some comparables, but I think it's a bit of a stretch.
Well, your memes be dreams. Anyway, we got a great show lined up for you. And we got a guest today to talk about some actual Clown World experience, non-economic Clown World experience, though you may recognize this young fella from Bitcoin Twitter. Anyway, before we get started, Len, two sponsors, EasyDNS. You know them, you love them, Mark and the team. They helped us with our website, which is up now, CanadianBitcoiners.com. There's not much on it, just whatever we post on this YouTube channel. But if you want to write for the website or give us content for the website, you know where to find us, Twitter, whatever, hit us up, send us a DM. Also, they got email migration, domain hosting, virtual private servers, GPG email encryption. So the VPS stuff, if you want to run a Nostra relay, you want to run a BTC Pay server, you want to run a Bitcoin node, Len, you run a Bitcoin node. I don't know if you do yours over VPS, but you could. With EasyDNS. And if you use CBP Media as a promo code, or like a bunch of you guys have, just tell Mark we sent you and he'll give you 50% off whatever you buy first time through. Can't beat that. Who's the other sponsor?
Bull Bitcoin. And it's a great day to buy some more Bitcoin because the price of Bitcoin is stagnant and has been so for quite some time. And it's driving me absolutely bonkers. But that gives you a good opportunity to buy cheap sats if you think the price of Bitcoin is going to be going up. And you could use Bull Bitcoin to do that. Or if you think the opposite is going to happen, if you think it's going to go down, you could use Bull Bitcoin to sell your Bitcoin, but I wouldn't recommend that. Capital gains, the whole nine yards. But you could also use other things with Bitcoin. You could go over there, you could pay your bills with Bitcoin, so you could live on a Bitcoin standard. You could buy gift cards with Bitcoin, so you go out in the real world, if there is such a thing, and you exchange those gift cards for goods and services, and ultimately you're using your Bitcoin to pay for that. And you could do liquid buys, you could do lightning buys, on-chain buys, but best of all, KYC free. If you want to do that, use Canada Post. 6,000 locations throughout Canada, more than Tim Hortons. They'll be happy to take your dirty fiat in exchange for KYC free Bitcoin. Not too bad. Use our referral code below. Give you $21 added to your account after you fund it.
$21. You have to give your cell phone number for that because you guys were signing up too many times. Anyway,
there's been a lot of people doing that.
so don't rip them off, but we do appreciate all the support. Okay, let's bring him on. Pastor Coin is here. He's been on the show before. We talked about Bitcoin, talked about Jesus, talked about all the things that that Pastor Coin.
Wasn't he a heel too? I think we talked about
He was a wrestling heel in a former life. And now that I've seen a full body picture of him, it's clear as to why he chose wrestling as an endeavor before. So first of all, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you suggesting this to me this morning because I had already, like, things moving so quickly, I'd already forgotten about this, but this is a good story. It's relevant. And it's important because, as we've seen over the last several years, there's some discrepancies in the ways that law enforcement can be carried out and applied. And you just happened to have a run-in not long ago. So before you get started, first of all, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, I'm glad to be back here again. on Clown World Wednesday. I didn't even know you were calling it that. That's funny. I was giggling backstage here.
It's a rarity we do these Clown World Wednesdays, so it's enjoy it while it's here.
I mean, it's rare, but there's so much material. You could do it every day.
Oh, we know. We know. Okay, so tell me, I'm going to pull up this, I'll bring up this tweet here that I think has the video of what happened to you. Give us the background of this first, and then maybe we'll play the video for everybody so they can see it. I'm going to make the video bigger once we play the video, but I want to hear the pastor's interpretation of events. Then we'll run the video for people to see for themselves as well, and maybe do a little commentary.
Yeah, well, it's pretty simple. Every summer we meet in a local park in our community for church. We're a small church, you know, 10, 15, 20 people. Summertime tends to be less because folks go on vacation and stuff. So anyways, smaller gatherings in the park. And we've been doing this for over 3 years, really since COVID times. And the ironic part is we met illegally through COVID the whole time and never got into any altercations with lawlessness enforcement until now. So here we are, our small family church. I had just got finished singing some hymns with my children and the church members, and then the police showed up.
I got a question for you. Number one, later setting down, did you have any acoustics there that's going to amplify your voice? Anything that's going to make music very loud?
Guitars.
Like, yeah,
like, what did I have in my church? Like guitars and stuff, Len? Like,
well,
I think
I'm just curious if they brought anything over there. Like, I want to give me a picture of the setting so I could imagine this in my mind.
So it's a very simple setup. We have one Bose portable PA, small speaker.
Yeah.
And it's not full blast. I put it at a volume that's reasonable for people to hear, but also for those at the park not to really be bothered. It's sort of like just background sound at the park. You can't really make anything out unless you come close. So there was some amplification, but nothing serious. We even got comments on social media when I posted this of people saying, hey, I was at the park that day and my children wanted to hear what was being said and we had to come close to the speaker to hear it. So, you know, it was just total clown world. We got a complaint from what I can only assume was a purple-haired crew member that didn't like what I was saying.
And you figure they'd be busy watching a sporting event that's taking place worldwide. It's you know, I don't want to say too much, but you figure to be busy watching that, but I guess not.
Okay, so you get this complaint. You get the complaint, and my understanding is that this was not the first complaint you had. I think the week before, you were able to kind of have a civilized conversation, interaction with the police when they showed up, or maybe with a member of the park staff. Is that true?
So what happened was the week before this, a park staff came out and told me I couldn't be there because I needed a permit. Now, the bylaw in the city states that any gathering above 25 people in the park requires a permit. Now, we weren't anywhere close to that. We were at 10 or 12 or whatever. So I told them politely, well, like, I don't know who you're talking with, but according to the bylaw, I'm good because we're not going to have more than 25 people here. And then they kind of pushed the issue. And I told Parks, I said, you know what? Call the police. Let me talk to them. Like, have the police come out. And that Sunday, the police never came. So I figured, okay, we're good to go, right? As a matter of fact, that week after that, I had called the police preemptively and said, this happened with the park staff. Could you give me some insight as to why they would want me gone? Because I'm adhering to the bylaw. And the cop I talked to on the phone was kind of flabbergasted. He's like, I don't know what to tell you, man, but like you can go. Like, as long as you're not over 25 people and you're not causing a disturbance, which is, of course, vague. I mean, anybody can be disturbed by anything or say they are. So anyways, I asked the police, so what do I do if like they come back? And the officer told me maybe print out a copy of the bylaw and show them.
Which you have in the video.
which we had. I mean, I just had it on my phone. I showed them on the website. So their own website. So I called the police, and the police told me, go ahead, it's fine. Until they showed up and told me it wasn't.
Okay, so let's watch the video here. It's about 4 minutes. I think this is worth it. I think it provides some valuable context, and really there's no doubt about what happened here once you see the video. So let's run it.
...of incense, prayers, and fire from that? The altar.
Yeah.
How can I help you? Why not?
Because it's the park
itself.
You guys are not allowed to be here.
You can't
come here without a
permit. That's not true.
Yep, that's true.
No, it's not.
Great shirt. So
I'm going to show you the bylaw.
Yeah, and the park's called, and they said you're not allowed to be here.
For what reason? What crime am I committing?
Well, you need a permit to be out here.
Okay, so what law am I breaking here? The amplification? Okay. So is it the amplification?
No, it's the fact that you're right next to a park, and this is, you can't rent city property. You haven't rented city property.
Yeah, but so, I'm gathering with my friends.
No, but that's not a gathering. You got a stage set up.
This is
you can't have a microphone.
Okay, so I turn the mic off.
Are you going to let me finish?
No, because you're violating my law.
Okay, then you know what?
Then
we'll start removing everybody.
Listen, no,
be reasonable. You want to talk to me, and I'll talk to you.
Okay, talk.
Okay.
Be reasonable.
This is a city property. You have to rent this to be out here. This is not rentable space because it is right next to the park.
Okay.
That is why. You can't be on a microphone.
Okay.
You can't be on, like, in this area.
Okay. Now can I talk?
Go ahead.
Am I allowed? Listen, I take the sign down. I take the speaker. Am I still allowed?
No, because this is renting city property for the purpose that you're...
We're not...
We called Windsor Police on Friday.
I called you guys this Friday.
This is city property.
Listen to me. I called you guys Friday. I said, can I gather in the park with, like, 10 of my friends to worship God? He said, absolutely you can.
Not on a microphone, no.
Okay, I'll turn it off. I'll turn it off.
You guys have already been told you're not allowed to do this.
Yes, but I'm not breaking the law. And if I am breaking the law with the mic, I'll turn it off.
You've already been told you're not allowed to do this, but you came back and did it again. Regardless,
because you guys didn't come, and then I called you, and you told me I could.
Okay, well, you're not allowed to. We didn't tell you you could.
The police. Yes, you did. I called you guys.
You want to sit in the park and talk to your friends about God and fill your boots.
Okay, I'm going to turn my mic off. I'm going to turn it off.
You got to take it down.
I'm going to turn it. Listen to me. Listen. I'm going to turn it off, and I'm going to take the sign down. Then I'm going to talk to my friends about God.
You know what?
You understand?
You can sit together. I don't know. They might want you guys out of here now.
What am I doing if I turn the mic off?
You've gone against the bylaws.
What bylaw? Okay, I'm repenting. I'm turning it off.
So now it's going to be considered a trespass because they've already been warned. So they want you off the property now.
What law am I breaking?
Trespassing now.
Yeah. But the bylaw says...
Answer my question, and I'll give you my idea, but answer my question. If I come back with none of this in 1 hour and sit with my friends, am I going to get kicked out?
Wait, you want to sit on a park bench?
If I come here with our lawn chairs and we sit here with no amplification and I talk about God, will I get kicked out? You don't know. No, unbelievable.
Listen. Normally, yes, you'd be allowed to do that. That's no problem.
Okay.
But we talked to the city of Windsor, and because you've been warned about this so many times, they don't want you here at all anymore.
Warned once.
Wow.
On
wow.
And they said it was fine. So
come on, man.
Can you see where
our... Oh, there's another one now. Big threat, guys. Look at this. Four cop cars to break up a religious... No, five cop cars to break up a religious gathering. You know what crime I'm actually breaking? I'm actually illegally parked right now. But they don't. But that's not what they got me on. They got me on the gathering for worship. Welcome to Canada, folks.
Okay. So you have to rent the city property to do anything like this, okay?
Like and what?
Just let her finish her sentence.
Any sort of group meeting, like if somebody comes here for a giant picnic with their family, they have to rent the spot. But this is not rentable space. It's next to a park.
The bylaw says 25 or less, 25 or more.
The city says you are not allowed to.
But the bylaw says you need to, if you have 25 or more, you need a permit.
And they've already told you you can't come back here, and you did. So you did. Now it's a trespass, which is why we're here.
You guys didn't come up. You didn't show up last week.
You've been told that they've already.
Okay, but Parks and Rec is not police. I asked them to call the police.
They're an agent of the city, so they can tell you not to be.
They can arrest me.
They can tell you not. Did they arrest you?
No, but I'm asking you. I'm asking you. They didn't call the police. Didn't come last week.
They can tell you to leave. Yeah, okay, you've been told to leave.
But you have all the information you need. You can leave immediately. Okay.
I got a comment and a question. So, I mean, assuming you had like 10-ish people there, from what I gather. Now, a five cars coming here, that's a five car to two person ratio, which is not bad. I have to give you credit for that. So that's a pretty good showing for the cops. But the second thing I have to ask, they told you, they said they warned you many times and they already told you not to come back. How many times did they warn you? Because I
How did they warn you? How was there a warning there?
They never warned me.
No, see, this is the thing I'm running into problems when people watch this video. They believe the police. Okay. Mistake number one. Don't trust verify. Like, don't just believe the police. They are capable of lying. Okay. Like they are, guys. Let's get that through our heads. They're capable of lying. And in this case, they were either misinformed or they were lying, because I was never formally warned once. Like I said, I asked them to call the police. They never showed up. Then I took the initiative to call the police and they told me I could go. So you could understand my frustration when they were telling me, guys, we've told you multiple times. We talked to the city. Like, no, you didn't. This is all just lies to save face.
Well, I don't understand the other part of the video. I don't understand is when there's a discussion between you and the female officer about they want you out.
Right.
I'm unclear about who they are. Like, is it the people at the park, the people who work for the park? And I mean, there's a lot of people when I go to the park near my house, there's a lot of people there that I want out. But like, it's not up to me to remove them. I can't call the city to remove them. It doesn't matter how much I don't want them there. They're still there. They're not breaking any laws. So who is she talking about when she says they want you out? Who is they?
They refers to the city of Windsor. Like that's what they told me. The city doesn't want you here. And I tried to, as like, there was a lot more footage I didn't include just because, I mean, you know, the video could have been, I recorded the whole thing. It could have been an hour long, but no one's going to watch that. So I just put the highlights, but I get to control this narrative finally. So what I tried to get them to clarify for me through the whole encounter was, what exactly am I doing that is so egregious I have to be removed? They would not tell me. Right. Like when she said, you can't do this, I asked, define this. What is this?
Yeah.
What is it that I'm doing? She almost said it at one point, but she caught herself, because if she would have said you cannot have a religious gathering, it would have been over for her. I would have ended her career. And so they would not say what it or this is, because they knew as well as I knew what they were doing was unlawful. As a matter of fact, in the criminal code, it says that it's a crime punishable with up to 2 years in prison to hinder or stop or interrupt a religious gathering. That's still in the criminal code.
I think my only advice for you, I think, next time would be to have all of the parishioners, all the worshipers show up in tents, because they're definitely not going to remove 10 tents. That's an easy fix, right? Pretty simple. Yeah. Get a couple of CB radios and off you go. Len, what else you got for them?
Yeah, I mean, the statist in me would suggest, and I'm not sure if you even tried this, did you try reaching out to your local counselor? And maybe this might be a dead end, because again, you know, somebody would maybe...
I did.
And can you disclose exactly what has happened, if there's been any resolution to this, or is it still something that's pending and you don't want to say too much?
So I've talked to a civil rights lawyer. I went as hardcore as I could. And as far as the counselor is concerned, the thing is, somebody is going around slandering me in this community. So they had already gone to the counselor and so forth. And so when I had talked to him, he was almost annoyed. You know, he's like, Alan, you know what? Just follow the rules. There's rules for everybody. And I'm like, bro, who you been talking to? Who you been talking to? He's like, they told you multiple times. He believed all the lies, right? And he hadn't even watched the video. So I'm like, who are you talking to, man? So I clarified with him exactly what happened. And by the end of the call, he's like, you know what? We just want everyone to have serenity, and we're going to have we're going to fix this. And I'm thinking, okay. I'm like, okay, bro. No, you're not. So anyways, long story short, like, I'm fighting the ticket because I got ticketed. And
what's
also,
the amount? Can you disclose that or no?
The amount is a joke. I almost laughed. $65.
Well, they could have just saved that money not sending the fourth and fifth cruisers. Like, what's the come on, man?
When I talked to my lawyer, he laughed. He's like, dude, that's like the minimum they can give for something like this. And that a lot of times, if you just ignore it, it goes away. But so when he handed me the ticket, because a mail officer handed me the ticket, because of course she's going to get one of her goons to do it. He goes, oh, the amount is 65. And I almost blurted out, am I a joke to you? Like, what is this? Like, what is this? So anyways, yeah. So I'm going to just fight the ticket. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, it is one, like, having encountered Clown World in this way, like, there was five cruisers, but we ended up with six by the end of it and 10 police officers. So that's one police insane. Officer per worshiper, including three children. So, like, you know, we had kids crying, hugging their moms, you know, saying, I'm scared the police are going to kill us. And this type of, like, it was crazy, man. And I went to the cops and I said, you know what? Look at this kid over here, man. Look at this kid who's crying. He's afraid of you. I said, this kid is 5-6 years old. This is going to be etched in his memory for life, man.
Yeah.
From now on, he's going to think police equals bad guy. Like, well done. Well done.
That's absolutely terrible. Now, before you go, you want to plug your book. I am happy to let you plug your book. But before you do, I want to plug something on your behalf, okay? This tweet from you, barbells, Bible, and beef in what looks to be your garage of a guy who's probably not much older than, I don't know, it looks like maybe he's a teenager, a little older than that, and on the far side, and then a guy right up in the foreground here in incredible high bar squat form here. Not a single muscle fiber left unengaged. Tell me a bit about this. When did you come up with this idea?
This is something we just launched at my church like this past Saturday. It was an idea I had for a while, but wasn't sure how to implement. I'm one of these guys who's like, we need a facility. We need, and my wife's just like, you know what? Just do it. Just start in the garage and see where it goes.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. And basically I just put out the call. I said, all right, here's what's going on, guys. At my house, in my garage, we're going to do like a devotional, a Bible study of sorts. Then we're going to do a workout and then we're going to eat a steak. And, yeah, there was more people who were there. This is just, you know, one picture. We had about four guys and, that's what we do. And it was received really well. And I'm hoping to grow it. My vision for this is this. I want to revive the YMCA before it got GAY. Okay. before, I don't know if I could say that. Sorry. But, I mean,
you saying it, not us. At the very least, reviving the YMCA before it became this place where it's more of a happy place. Yeah, but it's like a daycare now more than it is
It's a happy place. That's what I'm going to say. It's a happy place.
Okay, sure.
Right?
All right, like, anyway, Alan, keep going.
It's a happy place. So look, the YMCA stood for Young Men's Christian Association. So it was a Christian outreach ministry that used fitness to get young men off the streets doing stupid stuff. So that's what I want to do. I want to infuse fitness, use it as a tool to reach young men for Christ and do something good. So that's the goal.
Amazing. I love that. Now tell me about your book before you go.
So the book is called The Bible and Bitcoin. I have a proof copy here. That's why it has this ugly gray stripe through it. When it's released, it won't have that. But it's called The Bible and Bitcoin, a theological exploration of human time, energy, and Bitcoin. It's got a lot of pictures in it. It's color. It has a study guide in the back, and it'll be out August 31st. So if you want more information, you can visit thebibleandbitcoin.com and you can sign up for a newsletter and you'll get chapter one for free. That's my gift to you for giving me your email. I won't spam you. So trust me or not, I won't. And that's that. So look forward to releasing this. I hope it's a blessing. I've got good reviews thus far. And go ahead and get chapter one.
Before you go, I gotta ask: are you still gonna be meeting in a park? And if so, do you want to plug the park and
also
your church?
When's the next park?
Because I'm sure people in the Windsor Essex area would love to attend one of these. Maybe if you want to plug these.
Well, listen.
At least a church you could plug.
Yeah, I called the police after this, and the operator answered, and I said, "I got a question. I was ticketed on Sunday," and she stops me. She goes, "You're Alan, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Uh-oh." So the police know me, bro, by name now, which is kind of pathetic, but they do. And so I'm not going to say anything one way or the other because, you know, clown, although it is clown world, these clowns can be vindictive. So and because we have humiliated them in public. If you read the comments, people are like, whoa, these cops are out of line.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. You can check out our website, lifegiverchurch.net. We meet in an undisclosed location. It's crazy that I have to say that in Canada, isn't it? We meet in an undisclosed location. If you want to know where it is, you can fill out our form on our website, lifegiverchurch.net. And if I trust you, I'll respond.
It's funny.
I look forward to watching you on Cops. I know. Yeah.
It looks like you're on your phone, Alan. There's a guy in the chat saying you're Ontario's most wanted. So yeah. You got to live up to that.
$65 reward.
I love it. Alan, pass the coin. Thanks, buddy, for coming on. We appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Bless you guys. And keep on doing what you're doing.
Cheers. That's a great story. I am glad. Because I totally forgot about that. We should have put that in Clown World on the Monday show last week. But
we'd missed
that's
it 2 weeks ago. Maybe.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Sorry, 2 weeks ago. Incredible. Like, I have friends that are police officers. I'd like to think that the friends I keep are more level-headed, more willing to engage in good faith, on good terms with the public than what I just saw in that video. I don't want to speak for any of those police officers. I don't know them. You never know where they're coming from, where they're going. But that to me doesn't look like a competent group of people. That's my opinion of what I just saw. And I don't know how to fix that. I'm not necessarily saying it's their fault. They receive training. They receive all sorts of instruction and whatnot. And they're trying to apply. They're trying to enforce laws that sometimes are difficult to enforce and vague. And I think this is a good example of that. You know, what is Alan allowed to do? Is he allowed to use a mic? Can it be that loud? You know, I think about one thing I didn't mention. There's yoga in the park here in Hamilton once in a while that doesn't seem to be sanctioned by the city. It's just a couple of people with yoga mats. And they have pretty loud, though serene, loud music plus the instructor all amplified. And I never see anyone try and grab those guys. They're less than 25 like he was. There's a sign there too. Doesn't say Jesus on it, but there is a sign. And that was the comp I made when I watched the video because I had just seen the yoga and I thought, man, you know, there's a lot of similarities one better, here. Man. Well, there's one big difference. Yeah. What do you got?
I was at Chidoke last year, 2 years ago, whichever one, I played in the Martin. This is a golf course.
Yeah.
And on the 17th hole, it's a par three, long par three, 180, 200. And to the right side of the green, there's a bunker. Right in front of the fucking bunker, two people are doing Tai Chi on the fucking course, man. And this is a par three, baby. So you could smack that. And so they're in a line of fire. You know, it's not that hard to – sorry, it's not that – that they're going to get hit in the second or third shot. It's the first shot they're going to get nailed.
I can't believe that.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, whatever. We got half an hour here.
I
am not doing an hour and a half. Wednesday shows cannot be more than, I am not giving you any more than 32 more minutes. That's it.
Go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. It's been a great show. No, that's... we could talk about the job loss situation in Canada. So reported numbers that came in was 6,000 jobs were lost and unemployment has rose as a result of 5.5%. So the number is 6,000 lost. Keep this in mind because in context, the estimates were there was going to be a 25,000 job gain. So
yeah.
Instead of having 25 in the plus, it's 6 in the negative. And you know, it may not seem like a lot in the grand scheme of things, but there was a post on Twitter, and I don't know how valid this is, but I think it's true. Somebody was showing a job fair that was taking place out of Fortino's in Brampton. Now, yeah, we're talking entry-level job here, and for those who didn't see this, this person filmed the line of people getting in queue to get into this job fair two, I'm assuming, 40s entry-level positions. And the queue is so long. It's hard for me to describe it in the audio side of things, but just imagine something that almost wraps around a block. That's the best way to describe it.
The videos out there, if you go to Many Been Rinsed on Twitter, I think he has it posted from about a week ago. Yeah.
Good memory. I don't even remember the name of the person. So very good memory for you. To you, kudos to that. But when I'm looking at that, I mean, number one, with the job losses being reported, and then you're looking at all these people lining up to get jobs, it shows me that there's a real demand that for people to get a second, maybe a third job, whatever. Because as the cost of everything continues to goes up, then it becomes harder to manage with the income that you have right now, because income that you make, the salary you make or hourly wage you make, doesn't match the cost of living increase. So people are forced to take other measures to make ends meet, Uber Eats, walking dogs, you name it. These people are going to Fortinos to apply for a job. That's not that lining for a job, lining up at Fortinos is a bad thing or anything. It's just the size of the amount of people over there. This is trending in the wrong direction, and it's not going to get any better moving forward.
So let me hit you with a couple of numbers here that I just happen to know, because as people who listen to and watch this program know, we no longer share commentary before the episodes. Toronto, would you say Toronto is the city with the most immigrants in the country?
You're talking about like absolute numbers?
Yeah, sure.
I would assume so, but
got to be right. So what was the unemployment rate for the country? You said 5.5. You know what it is in Toronto? Now, keep in mind, we are told constantly that immigration is going to be the thing that saves us because we need to add people to the workforce. Highest immigration or highest unemployment in the country at 6.5%. So we're bringing in all these people. They're not working. And then because they're not working, I know you posited there that it's second and third jobs. I would suggest to you that if I look, even in the places that I visit with some frequency, Shoppers Drug Mart, Fortinos, I don't know what's another good example. My wife and I went to get ice cream after dinner at a convenience store not far from our house. By the way, convenience store ice cream fridges always have the best stuff. I don't know why anyone wastes any time going to grocery stores for ice cream, but anyways, I digress. Places like shopping malls, McDonald's, Tim Hortons, you name it. These used to be places where teenagers would go to get their first experience in the workforce, right? You start building relationships, you start, you know, cutting your teeth a little bit, as the saying goes, dealing with the public, an invaluable skill, as any millennial can attest. If you dealt with the public when you were 16, you had no problem doing it when you're 25, and even less when you're 35. So I think that contrary to your guess there, which may be true, I don't have numbers to back this up, but I would suggest that these are people looking to get jobs that are going to support their mortgages, Len. The jobs that they're going to use as their primary income, the jobs they're going to use as the way to bust into the Canadian workforce. The video that you're talking about is mind-numbing, because in the video, there's no one there who's 15 years old. Everyone there is 25, 30, 35. No one there looks like a kid. No one there looks like a teenager. But they are going to take jobs that Canadian teenagers would love to have and would benefit from having. And I don't know how I feel about that. It makes me sound kind of like a, you know, boomer in that regard. But it's not about necessarily even the money. It's about how do you sustain a society when your youngest minds aren't being exposed to things that are beneficial for them that they really can't get any other way. I mean, short of working in a grocery store or a fast food restaurant at 15, how are you going to get into unscripted, perhaps less than kind interactions with the public and develop those skills, develop that skin, develop that wit? It's going to be very difficult. Schools certainly don't do it anymore. Those have become complete safe spaces. And that was really the only, you know, venue left for that. And now it seems to be disappearing. What do you think? Do you think I got that right?
Yeah, it's a good analysis. I'm wondering, too, then, if it's going to force a lot of these younger folk out there that are being pushed to the side. Maybe they have to be more creative in their approach to try to earn some money. And like I mentioned, dog walking and shit like that. But I saw a story not too long ago, and I think it was in the Hamilton region. One young guy, it was in the Hamilton region, he's 14, 15. He's made tens of thousands of dollars over the past couple of summers just cleaning barbecues.
Yeah.
Did you see that story? That.
Great
story.
So
he's just going around, and, you know, it sounded like to me that reading through the story that he got so many no's, and even today he's still getting a lot of no's, but he's persevering. He's got the nose to the grindstone and he's trying to do what he can. So he basically cold approaches people, asks if he wants to, if they need help cleaning their barbecue. And if they say yes, he does the job, he cleans it and makes some money in the process. So stuff like that, that's very unique, very specialized. But somebody like that, I assume, is going to go very far in life just because he's got the it factor. And a lot of these kids are going to have to display that as well. If they don't have it, they're going to have to somehow harness it and grow it from within. Yeah. If not, they're going to be left behind.
It's almost impossible to do that as a young man. And I'll just note as well, you know, I think we overlook a lot of the times societal impacts from a romantic and you know, courting standpoint. If you don't have those skills when you're 16, 15, 16, getting a partner at 20, 21, you know, Pareto is already very unkind to you if you're a guy who's, you know, maybe a little slow to develop, let's say, or something like that, or you don't have a good job. Tinder really takes away a lot of the opportunities you would have had to find a partner that kind of matches your socioeconomic status and your, you know, as much as I hate to say it, like your hierarchy on the sort of looks pyramid. But it's even harder if you can't approach somebody who you don't know and talk to them in a way that is enticing and inviting for them to continue speaking with you and engaging with you. This kid with the barbecues, like, I almost want to get him on the show, to be honest with you. If he's like local, I'll just invite him over.
Bring him on. I'd be more than happy to listen to him.
I don't know what
talk.
He's up to or where he is, but I would like to talk to him and just get kind of a feeling for what he thinks and why he did this, and you know, what his friends think about it. I love talking to young people because I think that there's a lot of fire in their eyes, and sometimes it's dampened by the stuff that goes on around them. But in this kid's case, it doesn't seem to be anything holding him back. So I'm happy to see that for sure. Yeah, good callback there. That was a good story. I was happy to see that.
Yeah, then let's move on because there's also a few other things. Food bank usage is going up. We've talked about food banks quite often in the past while. There's one Scarborough food bank that has seen a 112 increase in usage in less than a year. And that's an incredibly high jump. And they say that 95% of the users right now were not born in Canada. Yeah. 95%.
I was just about to ask, what's the immigrant population percentage?
And Scarborough, Scarborough tends to have a larger portion.
But for food banks to be reporting on this, right? Like,
and not only that, I mean, it could go even further here. Another stat, 89% of the people using food bank are renters.
Yeah.
I would imagine that number is going to change because of people with mortgages that are struggling to make ends meet. Sorry to laugh at this, but I think that they're going to take a bigger slice of the pie too. I mean, it's very possible. Rather than going out there and paying for your food, to go to the food bank and try to make ends meet like that. So these are telling statistics, and these are things we shouldn't be shunning aside. Look at something like this, because this is boots on the ground type information, and you can get a pulse of what's going on, a finger on a pulse of what's going on out there. And it's not too long before this stuff spreads. And ultimately, people like this are going to need handouts. I mean, they are getting it right now, but I'm talking about handouts from above, from the government. And if they don't get it, they're going to go hungry. And if they go hungry, well, things go really bad. So what I'm trying to get at is this is going to be a very costly bill for everybody, because these people will request assistance, and I'm certain that assistance is going to be granted in one way, shape, or another. So it's just look at these stats and don't shun them aside. Digest them, because things are going to be coming up in not too distant future.
Also, food banks aren't meant to operate at that high a metabolic rate. Like, they're not meant to be giving out food to 30% more people year over year in an environment that's not kind to donations, with a population that's not thrilled about the people who hang out outside food. But you know what I mean? Like, that's not the state they want to operate in. That's not the you know, kind of terminal state that they prefer. And I'm surprised, Len, that we haven't seen more stories, because I know we do often talk about food bank usage, as you mentioned, but you know, we've not seen really food banks threatening closure or turning people away yet. And I wonder how far we are. I am certain we're closer than they're letting on, but I think they're in a really tough spot, right? It's a PR nightmare to turn people away. And it's even a more PR nightmare to turn people away when 90% of your user base, your clientele, are, you know, not native Canadians. So I wish them the best. I hope they're able to continue to provide. But at some point, you know, we have to start talking about the math that leads up to the answer, right? And it doesn't seem like anyone anywhere is willing to do that, at least not in politics at the moment.
It's going to be humiliating if they have to go to the point of turning
humiliating for who, though? For who, though? Like, it should be humiliating
not for them.
For the city and for the province, right? That's yes. Who should be humiliated. Yeah.
Not for them, because they're there and they operate based on donations. And that's going to be a call to action for even more to be donated to them, because they are being stretched to the max. There's nothing else they could do. So yeah, it's not going to be a black eye on the food banks. They just operate in this environment and they operate through donations. If they don't have it, they can't make it out of thin air. It's not like it's money. They have to actually make it with actual food.
Can't print soup. Yeah.
Well, let's talk briefly about what's going on in Ottawa. There's a trio of stories that I want to bring up over there. I had no idea things are getting pretty bad at our nation's capital. There's a Walmart located in the Billings Bridge Shopping Center in Ottawa. I have never heard of this place before. Anyways, they used to have some self-checkout lines, but those days are long gone. It looks like they're closed and they're forcing people to use the cashier checkout lines. Somebody inquired as to why this is the case, and it was disclosed it was because of a rise of theft. Makes sense. If you're going to do it anywhere, the self-checkout lines. But it's not the only one that's been experiencing this. A Canadian Tire in that region as well also did the same by removing a self-checkout, and I presume it's because of rise of theft. And another thing that's going on in Ottawa, not too long ago, a Loblaws over there was asking customers to show receipts upon leaving the store, similar to what you do when you're leaving Costco. Never had this happen to me before at a Loblaws, but it's happening over there. And when I think of Ottawa, because I've traveled there a bunch of times in the past, it's clean. It seems like a very civil place. It seems to be well-to-do. Like, there didn't seem like there was a lot of homeless there. I didn't see any, actually, the last time I went there. But to hear stories like this, every city's feeling it. There's nowhere out there that has been able to be unscathed through this whole ordeal. And if it's happening there, Poliev, that's his backyard. He's riding his Carlton. This is giving him food. This is giving fodder just to throw shit out there and say, like, look, if this is happening here, it's happening everywhere else. This is shitty stuff, man.
What's the fix? The fix is more enforcement. The fix is not sending five cruisers to Allen's warship. It's sending one to Walmart when they call you. You may remember this is not quite as tightly related as I'd like it to be, but I'll mention it. In the States, where obviously there's a new video every day of some mob of young people ripping through cupboards and clothing stores or whatever. I don't think there's a video for this one, but a Lululemon employee was fired from her job for calling the police on somebody who stole something from their store. You may remember that from a few months ago, maybe a month or two ago. This is the environment we're in now, where we are still doubling down on this idea of rehabilitation and support for criminals. They're fucking criminals. Put them behind bars and be done with it. Oh, well, it's too expensive to incarcerate. The cost savings in property tax, in economic development, in general sales tax, you will see when people are more willing to go to your stores. You know, you're not doing the math on the trade-offs here. And for repeat offenders, you know, I don't want to go down this road on this show, but, like, you know, Len, there's other things you can do besides just lock them up for a year or fine them. And I don't know what is the end of the road for this failed policy going to be in Toronto and New York, Eric Adams. Remember we did that story, Clown World, maybe a month ago, where instead of arresting thieves, he wants to put kiosks and signs up like, hey, are you about to steal something? Read this first. What the fuck do you think these guys are going to do? They're going to stop in for some counseling on the way to rob the Burberry? Like, I don't think so, man. But it seems to me like everyone has this belief that we're so gifted that we're going to be able to stop somebody from shoplifting when all they want to do is shoplift. And there's economic factors going into that, of course, but we got to come up with a better way, because everyone's going to leave these areas. I think about myself. One of the reasons I'm moving to Dundas is because I don't like the things that are happening in the area around my house. You know, I don't like that there's tents in the park now. I don't like that I see the same, you know, strung out looking guy with a large Coke walking down the fucking street at 10 a.m. every day. I don't like that. I don't want to see that. And I don't want to live near that. And so the economic development in this area, when people like me or my wife decide to leave, will cost the city and the province and the country. But they're worried about the costs associated with crime. Well, fix it. You got to fix it. I mean, police in Hamilton, especially our police chief, Frank Bergen, who I really, really like and know a little bit through the work I've done with Wayside. He's an honest guy, and he makes a case. He made his case at a city council budget meeting a little while ago to expand his force and try and get up to what you would call like an acceptable cop to pop, the number of cops you have per member of the population ratio for a city the size of Hamilton with the crime rate the size of Hamilton. And the city came back and asked him what he was doing for DIE hiring. These people aren't serious. They don't care. They don't get it. And they're living in a little bit of a bubble. And so I say, if you're one of these people who's experiencing this in your area, your Loblaws closed a self-checkout, and now you got to wait in line because people couldn't stop stealing deodorant, fucking leave. Leave. Go shop somewhere else. Vote with your money. It's all you can do.
It's sometimes easier said than done. You're sometimes just you're tied to
it. It's always harder to do than to say, for sure. But you, yeah. What other choice do you have? When you vote, everywhere you look, it's like uniparty now. Everyone's embracing the same things. I am almost fearing the day that Paul Leav becomes prime minister, because he will. Because I don't think a lot's going to change. And there's so many people who are hanging their hat on different politicians of different stripes. What about this guy makes you think that this is going to change? Is he going to be the one to upset 30 years of basically unidirectional movement toward this end? I just don't see it. I don't know how you could.
A lot of people have high hopes. The reality is, I mean, I didn't want to go down this topic and talk about it too much, but here we are. Canada has only been governed by two different parties. And it's always been the Liberal Party or the Progressive Conservatives or the Conservative Party of Canada as we know them now. So it's really just two parties that have governed Canada to date. Paul Leav is a career politician.
Yeah.
He doesn't have very much private sector.
Did he work at a McDonald's or a Tim Hortons when he was younger? Did he have that job?
He might have. I'm talking about substantial
work
and experience, you know. That has some bearing, because the reason why I want to bring that up, that point up, is the thoughts he has, the ideas he has, it's all coming and channeling from his experience, from his job, which is his history, which has been mostly as a member of parliament in Ottawa. So it's not like he's going to come up with any new ideas. He may come up with some, but the reality is it's going to be a lot of them that have been circling around. It's going to be a politician's type idea. It's not going to be something that's outside the box. Now, I'm not trying to say that we need outside the box thinking, but I'm trying to say that don't expect any with him. That's my gut feeling. I could be wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong. But just based on what I see, what I know, what could you expect from him?
It's mine as well. You're right. You have more experience in that domain as well. I trust your judgment and your gut feelings more than almost anyone else's. So I think you're probably
right. It's a two-party system, and you're really everything that's we have today in terms of what's good and bad has to lay at the feet of the two parties, because they're the only two that have governed, that have provided policy, regulations, laws, everything to bring us to this point. So they're the ones that are responsible for, again, the good and the bad that got us here. So you're going to have to deal with the same one or the other moving forward. Who's going to win next election? It's either going to be the Liberal Party Canada that's going to be forming government, maybe with a coalition, or the Conservative Party Canada. That's it. There's no third party here that's going to be that. So this is the reality of it. So anyways, let's talk about a couple more stories. We're getting up close to the hour and a half mark. Price of condos in Toronto, they have fallen for the first time in 10 years. This is with respect to the second quarter of 2023. And there's a lot of people out there that are hurting, and it's a result, obviously, of the rising cost of debt. People that are trying to close their new builds, they're screwed. They're trying to sell on assignment. They're trying to do everything they can to get out. In fact, one guy in Brampton, I assume this is the case, because it was filmed that some guy was running away from a pre-construction home in Brampton, and he was carrying a can of gasoline, and the house went on fire.
Great video.
I could assume, I could be wrong, but I could assume that may have been the owner of the house, and he just couldn't make ends meet. Now it's, you know, let's delay the or insurance or whatever. But that's if that's true, I'm not sure if it is. Very, very good idea. Ingenious way to solve your problem. Just light it up with gas and start to light the match, and away you go. Really cool stuff. But man, the pre-construction industry, they're going to feel it for the next 6 months plus. And if you have a boatload of cash and you wanted to get it on real estate, and you know, it's up to you if you want to, there's going to be some hot deals over there available for you. But you know, sure, if you don't have it, fuck, it's going to be tough for a lot of people.
Do you want to hear a funny story of what the pre-con real estate TikTok sphere is up to these days?
Go, because I don't peruse TikTok, so go ahead.
Okay, so picture this. First of all, it's always the same guy wearing like an international clothier suit that's like a size too small with like a tacky fake designer belt. Always the same fucking guy. Okay. It's like the real estate ripoff phenotype. And this guy who I watched today, I can't remember the account, had a montage of these real estate agents, most of whom, by the way, are either Indian or speaking in an Indian dialect. So white guy speaking in Indian dialects for part of the video, targeting that demographic. Okay. So also worthy of noting that given the immigration, you know, the stuff we talked about. So they're targeting what I would consider to be a vulnerable and in some cases like desperate for housing audience. So just park that one for a sec. The guy is making the case that if you can't afford the 20% down payment, it's too much, obviously. Who can afford this at these rates? You can't take a loan for it. You know, it's difficult, blah, blah, blah. He said the way to fix this problem for you and your family is to buy pre-con. Because pre-con, you still need to put the 20% down, but you put it down over like 2 years. So you start with 5% here, 5% there. Then you maybe finish with the back 10, 6 months before the construction is done or whatever. Or you give them the check the day you get the keys for the last five. Who knows? And the guy's basically making the case that this is the way to invest. And he says in the video, you're going to make money on it anyways. You may as well just do it this way. And that way you don't have to have the down payment. Okay, man. Meanwhile, he's probably got the jerry can in the car just in case things continue to go sideways. That also, I just want to note, great foot speed on that guy. That I've never run with a jerry can, but to me, that doesn't look like that guy's first time sprinting with a jerry can, does it? He looks like he's done that before. Great form on that guy. That jerry can's not in his way at all in that
not
video.
Not building a dropper or anything. Yeah, he was very good at it. So if anybody needs some assistance in this regard, I suggest reaching out to that guy. He's got experience and he probably needs money pretty damn bad. So you might be able to get him on the cheap. So check it out. I don't have a contact, but you may, you know, just fish around. Maybe you'll find it. do you see that this new first home savings account stuff?
I love how you're introducing these stories like you're doing like a monologue on Letterman. Have you seen the new first home? Yeah, well, the have fun staying poor account.
This is what it is. And there's so many people out there that are praising this. But the reality, it's like another tax-free savings account. You could save into it. I mean, this is for younger people out there trying to save for their first home. But the reality is you're not going to be able to save enough. And it's capped, I think, at $40,000.
It's the inputs that people don't have, not the tax efficient account.
So, yeah, like they have no way to invest in or to put money in it. And even if they do, it's not like the stock market is going bonkers. It's, you know, in some cases it's going backwards. So you can't come out ahead in this. So a lot of people are looking at this and they're saying this is good stuff and we're doing good stuff. We're doing great for young people and everything along those lines. But the reality is this is just window dressing. It's not solving the real problem. Young people are priced out for homes. They are not able to find the jobs that they went to school for. Hopefully they went to school in good fields, like something in STEM, not just some arts degree. Then also they have debt that they have accumulated for going to school. Less so in Canada than it is in the United States, but still it's substantial in some cases. And then they're asked to go ahead and buy a house, maybe a ring for somebody too, and all that. Like, there's no way to come out ahead. And then fucking interest rates are 5%, 6%, right?
Have you seen the videos of the girls in the States when they ask, like, how much should a guy spend on a ring? And they all say, like, 15K, 20K.
You know what? There's going to come a point in time where you're going to have to pay that to fill up your fucking car. That's this is reality. And
I know.
You know, one time I filled up my car like $140 or something. Like, you know, it's a big difference between $15K and $140.
Supposed to be 22-month high in gas on Friday this week. So that article we read on Monday, the Clown World, when I was talking about the NoCoiner, the CTV article, inflation relief being felt at the pumps. These guys are fucking so stupid. There's just no other way. Like, what is the media talking about? And now, are we going to talk about Bill C-18? Please tell me you got C-18 in the Clown World stories. Please tell me it's there.
I don't, but you're going to have to breathe. Is C18 the new
here's
stuff?
The summary. It's the new stuff, the online news act. Here's the summary, okay? Let me bring you up to speed for people who don't listen to the Axis of Easy show where we've been talking about this for like 3 months. Bill C18 is something that Globe Media and Post Media begged the government to put in place so that Instagram, Facebook, Google, Meta, whatever the platform, has to pay anytime they post, anytime someone posts a link on their website, because people are reading the stories there and not going to the Post Media website to read the stories, and they're losing income. Google and Meta and Facebook do the only thing that any sane company would do. Va van Google. That's what they say. We're not doing it. We'll just block out all the Canadian news on our site. There's some back and forth in the press between our PMO and some of the ministers and the Facebook guys. And there's talk on the earnings call recently. And so they're, you know, on the tech side, you see some of these guys doing podcasts about it. Today, guess what? Or not today, it might have been yesterday. Post Media and Globe Media demanding an investigation into the censorship of Canadian news by Google and Meta, as if they didn't warn you that they were going to do this. It's amazing. These guys are about to find out who was really helping who in that relationship, if they haven't found out already. Complete morons over there. Don't make me pull up the Torstar stock chart like I did on Axis of Easy. They're so dumb. They're so done. And I can't wait to see these guys just sitting in a smoldering pile of rubble and ash on their collapsed empires. They have nothing to rely on anymore except for the pockets and the power of the federal government. They're on both, they are extremely reliant and becoming more reliant by the day. This is an amazing story. I can't wait to see how this plays out. I can't wait to see Meta and Google just tell them to fuck off. No more. We're not playing this game with you. We're not paying. If you want your stuff on the site, you're doing it for free like everybody else. That's the end of the story. If the content's good, people will come find it. And by the way, I have to use 12-foot ladder or archive for every Torstar, Post, Globe story that we do for this show, because they don't let you sample anything as far as their work. So these guys don't understand the environment they're operating in. What else is new? They don't have to, because they've been supported. They've been supported for years, and that support now is just finally, you know, starting to wane by some of the tech giants, and will continue to wane, I think. I can't wait to see it happen.
It's rich that they're using the censorship as one of their excuses why they're going to go after
them. By the way, they have a monopoly, an intentional monopoly on English-speaking press in the country, basically, yeah. Right? Like, come the fuck on, man. What are these guys talking about? What are they talking about?
Yeah, well, the censorship thing, that should be an automatic red flag, because anybody that brought censorship up in the past, they were automatically given the cold shoulder or told, we'll put on what we want to put on because it's ours. Well, the same thing is happening with Facebook or Meta or whatever you call them, and Google and everybody else. It's their platform. They could do what they want, right? Yeah. Like, this is a centralized platform. They're beholden to their shareholders, nobody else. They're not beholden to CTV or Globe or Bell Media or whatever. If they wanted to go ahead with it, they think it's going to help their bottom line in the end, they'll do it. If not, you know, then it made, you know, you have to prove that they made a mistake. There's no way that you could do it, because they have the cards are all in their favor.
Like, and just consider,
they fuck themselves over.
Yeah. And I don't want to pick on Rachel Gilmore, because she's like just a product of this whole system and maybe doesn't even know it. But Rachel Gilmore won, I think, a media or news award in Canada for the quote unquote work she did as a TikToker. All she ever did was talk about someone else's article while pointing up behind her at the article that someone else had already written. I mean, what is that? Is that award worthy? Like, that kind of gives you that's exemplary of the environment in which the media in Canada is operating and the standard to which they are held. I agree with Chuck's comment in the chat, though. I'm not going to read it out loud. Heaven forbid I get that rabid fan base after me, the simp army. But like this idea that, you know, there's somehow quality media being suppressed by Meta and Google. It's just not true. It's not quality media, and everyone knows it. And so, of course, they don't want to fucking watch it or read it or talk about it or hear it or see it. And no one cares that it's not there. I don't hear any Canadian users talking about how the news is absent from their Instagram feed. Do you? Like, I don't hear anyone talking about that from their Google feed, from their Meta feed.
Aside from our show.
Maybe we're not the right audience for that, but but on the other hand, you and me are the news readers, right? Like, we read news when we see it. But I mean, I don't hear my dad complaining about it. I don't hear any kids that I know complaining about it. Like, those are the users, the boomers and the kids, and no one's talking about it. I only see it on Twitter from Globe, Post, Bell Media accounts, whatever, talking about how egregious this is. It's not egregious. You just fucking lost. They called your bluff. You don't make any money unless it's given to you through some, you know, crooked kind of sidewinding means. This is another example. Like I said before, until Bruce Arthur has to actually start writing decent articles and not just tweeting about whatever neurotic social cause he's decided is valid that day, the bottom is not in on media companies. Once that happens, then we'll fucking know. But for now, there's a long way to fall.
Well, let's talk about giving money
away.
Last
one. Pick it good.
Yeah.
Last one.
No, this is the last one. Yeah, that's all I have, because after this, I had nothing left. So it's a group called Quadrangle, and they have managed to get quite a few bucks in grants from the government. And the amount of money that they've received to date, it's three different payments. One was $130,000. Another one is $237,000. Another one was almost $7,000. So that's not bad. Three different big chunks of payments. They've been given authority to get up to $867,000 through grants. So that's going to be how much money they could potentially get through all this. But why am I bringing up Quadrangle? Well, apparently they're a BDSM or fetish organization. And they advocate on pissing on people, rope play, trampling, stuff like that. So yeah,
it's first time ever reading those terms or out loud.
you see that? I had to think, because I don't know I'll be honest, I don't even know what the fuck it means, a BDSM. But anyways, I see this. It's like, wow, that's a decent chunk of change given to a group of people, and I don't know what they're delivering. I mean, I don't know. This is, to me, it's the epitome of clown world, and it's a good way to end this story. I'm not sure if you want to add anything to this. I don't think there's any commentary we have to add to this thing. It speaks for itself in my
opinion. Not a single thing. You're right, though. Let's talk. What's the ROI? I don't want to hear about your preferences. I don't want to hear about what you think is important. Tell me what the ROI is on that investment. I guarantee you'll be underwhelmed.
Yeah, agreed. That's it, Joey. We're past the hour mark. Let's do another half. We'll do quick.
101:21 bonus content for the Patreons. Okay, God bless everyone. We'll see you. I don't know, tomorrow, I guess, on Access of Easy. Although we don't do that live. Leave a review for that show. I got to look and see if there's any reviews. If not,
for both.
Yeah, don't just do it for Access of Easy. Do it for both.
Don't stiff us. Give us a good review too.
Yeah. And until Monday, take care and God bless.
Yeah, take care, PV. Go on, Noster, and don't be a cock.